Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The issue around the skies in the Middle East, it's become fascinating because that seems to be the first indicators that we get that there could be trouble. People are watching the skies and they say, well, it looks like flights are being diverted. It looks like the airspace has been cleared. Let's try and understand how that works. Desmond Latham is an aviation expert. He joins us right now. Desmond, good morning. Thank you for doing so. How are you?
I'm pretty well. How are you? And hello to all the listeners.
It's a fascinating. It's really so interesting because, well, when you clear the skies, you definitely lose an element of surprise, don't you?
Not always. In this case, yes, I mean, in a way, but this has been a strange conflict, hasn't it? Because Qatar gave the Americans due notice that they were going to strike. Iran gave due notice they were going to strike the airport. Or air bases. And specific bases.
Right.
And they actually, what happened is normally up to 30 high-performance aircraft, American attack aircraft at this base, and they actually emptied it. They flew them out. So the Americans have given due notice. So it was very much a performative.
Right. That's exactly what I thought as well. It was completely performative. It was choreographed. In many cases, they obviously don't give that warning. I was sitting on a plane at Ben Gurion Airport the first time a ballistic missile from Iran came through, and they were screaming at us to I don't know, the Americans say deplane, but whatever the word is, to get off. And that missile hit while we were scrambling off the plane. The fact is that there was no prior warning given there, so that could have impacted an aircraft either in the air or on the ground quite tragically.
Yes, I mean, the conflict has shifted since then. I actually spoke to you shortly after that. I don't know if you recall, but
yes, sure.
It is, and the normal process in war is surprises everything, so as we all know. So in this case, it's been more about Iran saving some face. And also, I think it must be said that the Israelis also have a used by date as well, the number of defensive missiles and so on. So it looks like the parties there are seeking some kind of alternative to, you know, to eternal war. But the thing is, the effect on the flights is phenomenal. I mean, just out of South Africa, there are 33 weekly flights by Qatar to Doha.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Hamad Air International Airport logs 765 flights a day, and it moves around 870,000 people a week. So, you know, any 24-hour session here in one of these entrepôt airports, such as Dubai or Doha, creates a major dislocation around the world because there's so many people move east-west by these two main
hubs. They're hubs, yeah. So that must make it. And then you add to that, we have many, many friends who were in Israel and who have been stuck there. One of them I know today is getting on a boat to a 20-hour journey by boat to Cyprus in order to fly to wherever they're flying to in order to get home. I know others who have taken bus rides down to Cairo, which to me is just a little extreme, but in order to get out, the impact is really, really hard to understate.
Yeah, you know, we become so reliant on aviation that it's when it gets it's a bit like the internet. When it gets taken away, you suddenly realize that there's no real fallback to the swift movement that you've got used to. So people will take 20-hour bus rides to Cairo or 15 hours, whatever it is, and, you know, we'll cross borders that they wouldn't normally enter quite happily. Because it's, you know, we move in our millions and in our billions annually around the world, and we've got used to that. So, and these two airport hubs are crucial to that general movement of people around the globe. So the dislocation will be felt now. The big thing is uncertainty, because we are not sure if there is actually a ceasefire, because the Iranians fired a number of missiles into Israel after.
Yes.
They didn't arrive after the time, 4 a.m. local, supposedly cut-off time.
Yes.
They were fired after the deadline. So, and they arrived long after the deadline. So we're saying that Iran has not been very clear. Now there's Israel, really. I know you've quoted people on the record, but it seems to be some kind of to and fro still going on there.
Yes. I think no, there definitely does. I mean, in fact, the fact is that we've been trying to hunt down any form of formal response means that it isn't quite as simple as it's been made out to be by Donald Trump, which I hear. You know, he's pushing for this and he's pushing hard and he's in all likelihood right, you know, end it. Because if this carries on for much longer, the impact to the globe is going to be significant.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that it appears he jumped the gun a bit in his statement. Normally the parties involved issued a statement jointly with a mediator of some sort. And being involved directly in the war, as America is, by bombing Iran, it's when I heard that I was really surprised this morning. Really, I got up early and started checking on things. Mm-hmm. And but that's, I mean, I'm not a geopolitical expert. I'm just saying that when it comes to looking at the aviation sector, the knock-on effects are cruelly felt by the passengers, because we rely on stability in terms of our routes. So I've been saying to people, and I said to you last time we spoke, I don't fly via the Middle East anymore. I avoid it. Since October 7th,
it's so interesting that, yeah.
I've made alternative arrangements. Unfortunately, it cost me more to fly direct, but I've found that, well, firstly, it's instead of 24 hours via Dubai to Chicago, for example, it's now 16, because it's 14 to JFK, Atlanta, and, you know, so you pick up the difference in time as a cost. And also, I try and book my flights, as I said to you previously in our discussions, I try and book my flights more than 3 months ahead. And that halves the price, essentially. So by managing that, I've been able to, and people I know, avoid the Middle East. And the only reason why we fly those airlines is, you know, we get herded like sheep into these planes, herded out of them, and then you wait 6 or 7 hours in Dubai or Qatar, and then you get herded onto a plane again. Then there's another 14 hours or 13, whatever it is. We kind of put up with that because of cost. But it's also, you're flying into really critically unstable. Region.
Yeah, and I think we've kind of been led to believe that it's all very, you know, that it's efficient and stable. But actually, the last 21 months have shown us that it's really, really far from it, because it does impact. The whole region is unstable. I guess the question is now, if the ceasefire holds, if we foresee returning to a period of stability, if Iran has been defanged, so to speak, from different perspectives, then the war then becomes very much localized within Israel and Gaza, which really doesn't impact the greater region in terms of aviation anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Qatar and UAE have had their differences as well. So at one point, they almost went to war. They had their fighter jets. And if you look at the route that Qatar Airlines takes, it bypasses UAE. It won't go anywhere near the UAE. So, I mean, there are other issues going on. The Yemenis operating in, the Houthis in Yemen have shut down that airspace. You can't fly over that. Russia now is a big problem for some airlines, because it's believed that they may actually call on a commercial airliner to land if they fly over their territory. So a lot of Western airlines don't fly over Russia. So there are a lot of unstable regions of the world where these major nation states that can actually reach you at 42,000 feet with a missile are impacting our aviation decision making. And it's adding to cost. And of course, uncertainty creates risk. And with what's going on now, you know, if you do your scenario plans here and look at what's likely to take place, I mean, this is not likely to end soon. I mean, I state this as a non-geopolitical expert, but also just looking at the parameters, it looks like there's a long-term conflict that has been set off. And I think Iran will be dragged into it again. I don't think that's the end of the story. Because of its extremism and the leadership, there's under a lot of pressure by the right, as it is in Israel. So I don't see that this will stop these instability. It may stop the actual missiles exchanging for a period, But as an aviation person, I've been saying to people, avoid flying into that part of the world. You can, because you may book a flight now for 6 months hence, and then you'll find an impact about what we've just seen. But of course, the second big thing for us as frequent flyers is buy ticket insurance. It's not expensive.
Right. So that
Spend
is,
the extra
yeah, it's always,
70 bucks.
it's interesting because I always debate that, and you're saying it's absolutely worth it. Do it.
You must do it. And IATA rules, unfortunately, force majeure take place. And if people start
Yes.
shooting at each other,
You're right.
I mean, they don't technically have to honor the flights.
Of course.
They do it only out of PR. But if you buy the insurance, they technically have to honor the flight. So, and they can't make you pay more. So that's the big thing that, they'll make you pay for baggage, the book your seat, all these other little things, buy a car, hire a car. But the little insurance note there is not really pushed, because it costs them more money than you and me, if the airlines I mean by them,
That is very
if there's a
interesting.
problem. So buy air insurance. Buy insurance before you buy luggage.
That is so important. And please take it from an expert. Desmond Latham, thank you as always for chatting to us. He's an aviation expert. He says he's not a geopolitical expert, but